The Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra opens its 96th season tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium. My guest today is the featured concerto soloist for tomorrow night's program, a world-renowned artist whose knowledge and mastery of the piano literature, from concertos to chamber music to solo works, is hard to match. In a career spanning decades, he's made dozens of albums on major labels and can be heard with the world's greatest orchestras every season. He opened the Gilmour International Keyboard Festival last spring with an all-Prokofiev program. Yefim Bronfman is my guest today. Thank you so much for previewing your concert with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I was in the balcony last spring in Chenery Auditorium when you played the Prokofiev Sonatas 6, 7, and 8 for a full house. I remember it was a long week, and I sat down with all my small worries and problems and not sure if I was going to be able to let go of them. Although I'm so excited to see you in person, knowing your, you know, recorded works for such a long time. And sure enough, I was just taken into a completely different world. The music of Prokofiev, his incredible spiritual self was in the room with us. And I want to thank you for that experience.
Well, music does make you forget all the troubles, the small problems that you have. You know, I think that music is always necessary, not only in peaceful times, but also in, you know, I think that those sonatas were written during the war, and, you know, that it may be the greatest creation of Prokofiev. And some of the great creations of Beethoven, you know, he wrote during the Napoleon invasion, and some of the great works like Emperor Concerto, etc., etc., you know.
Very unsettling times.
Interesting that the way arts begin to mean even more during difficult times.
Yeah.
Not that I hope you don't have difficult time. I do hope your problems are very minor.
They are.
But I'm glad you forgot about them.
Small town problems.
Yes.
The world of Prokofiev to the world of Tchaikovsky for tonight, tomorrow night rather. Let me get that straight. Listeners, the concert is at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium, and full details and tickets are available at kalamazoosymphony.com. The concerto you're playing tomorrow night is a surprise to me. It's not the famous Tchaikovsky Concerto No. 1, but the Concerto No. 2.
Well, I like to surprise people, you know, I always come up. But this is a magical concerto. I think that this audience will be very surprised to hear a work just as great as the first concerto, but it just has never been played for whatever reason. At least to my knowledge, this might be a first performance in Kalamazoo.
Very first time.
And I played it last week in Oklahoma City. It was the debut performance as well. This has never been played. So after, 140 years, whatever year, how many years it was written, finally it gets its performances. I think it's very exciting.
I know the story pretty well behind the first concerto, which he wrote and showed to his good friend, Nikolai Rubinstein.
Correct, yes.
And Rubinstein said, "This is not how you write a piano concerto. I don't think it's ready." And he insisted, "Yes, it is."
I think he deeply misunderstood the genius of Tchaikovsky, obviously. I mean, the greatest composer of Russia in the history, and one of the greatest composers in history of music altogether. I think he was misunderstood and by his own country. And not surprising that his first piano concerto was premiered in Boston, and the second piano concerto was premiered in New York, not in Russia. You know, it's really then it was taken, after it had a great success, then it was taken back to Russia. It's just interesting how sometimes their own countrymen underestimate the genius of a person next door. You know, it's really kind of interesting.
In looking up a little history this morning, I saw that it was Nikolai Rubinstein who had changed his mind about that first concerto and said, "Yes, please produce a second concerto. I would love to play it. only he never got the chance to.
He never got, I don't know why. I think maybe he found it too difficult and that the changes were necessary. You know, Tchaikovsky was not a pianist, I think. So I think very often he wrote passages that are hardly playable, you know, but he has to work very hard. But I think it's worth it because the result is unbelievable. The drama and the lyricism of this music is simply, I can only compare it to opera. It just goes beyond the piano and becomes very operatic and very much like a ballet, you know. I think that Balanchine has choreographed that concerto into something called Imperial Ballet or something like that. That's the name of the... And the whole concerto is played. It was beautiful choreography.
Here in the Midwest, we have trouble expressing emotions. And, you know, the kind of feeling that is just... in the DNA of Tchaikovsky's music is a little embarrassing to express, I think. But to go to a concert, you can take the ride.
You express it very nobly, you know. You don't want people to pity you. And I think the same is Tchaikovsky. He was very, very noble feelings, not crying, you know, and want you to pity him and to feel sorry for him. But it's a very kind of... aristocratic kind of expression of his feelings. It's never, you know, tear my clothes off and feel sorry for me. It's not that kind of thing. It's just very, very beautiful and very sometimes even very reserved. But I think the reserved makes you even more emotional. I think that the reserved expression of your feelings sometimes reach farther than this outcry of emotions. That's how I feel about this music. The music speaks for itself in a way, mm-hmm. in Tchaikovsky's world.
Every time you open a concert program, there's this tragic story or tragic association with Tchaikovsky, and yet he was a professional who wrote completed scores for a variety of commissioners, was a teacher at the St. Petersburg Conservatory.
Yes.
We shouldn't just put him in this idea of a tragic figure.
No, he was a human being, and he was, you know, a very, extremely ingenious person. And he was a very sensitive man, apparently, from what I understand. And he cried when Rubinstein was so critical of his piano concerto, and, you know, cried like a baby, you know, apparently. And yet he has gained such recognition out west, you know. I think, for instance, Debussy, a great French composer, was a big fan of Tchaikovsky, and I believe he was one of the first, if not the first pianist. Debussy was a pianist, to play the piano part to the Tchaikovsky trio in Paris, in one of the Salon concerts.
That's a work that we've heard you perform many times and on record as well.
Yes, and so he was really, you know, recognized in Paris and in New York and in Boston much, much more as we just talked about it.
Again, Yefim Bronfman performs tomorrow night, and the concerto is Tchaikovsky's second concerto. Rather than talk about the piano part, what are some of the things he asked the orchestra to do with you?
Well, this famous second movement, you know, which is we are doing it in uncut version. The cut version exists by a Russian pianist by the name of Alexander Zeloty, and I think that... Zeloty has discussed this with Tchaikovsky, and I don't know if Tchaikovsky has approved all these cuts. I know there are two, three cuts that Tchaikovsky has approved, but he has not approved maybe the cut that Zeloty made of the second movement, which cuts probably 10 minutes of music from the second movement. But we are not doing it. We are doing the complete version, and the magic of that is that you can actually hear violin and cello together with a piano, perform a piano trio within the second movement. It's a very, very beautiful a melodious movement with beautiful cello and violin parts in it. It's just gorgeous. That's one unusual thing. The second unusual thing that in the first movement, piano plays a lot without the orchestra. I think there are at least two big sections where the piano kind of is a cadenza mode, and especially the second cadenza is quite long. I think that yesterday in the rehearsal, conductor was joking by saying that maybe we can all go out for dinner at that point. I objected to that. I said, just cappuccino, please. Please come back sooner than
just
that.
Just cappuccino.
So, and then, of course, there is another section right in the beginning that piano plays by itself. So it's a lot of... and then there are beautiful tutti's of the orchestra, where the orchestra plays a very dramatic and rich, harmonically, with a lot of surprises, you know, key changes, et cetera. But it's just, I think it's some of the best of Tchaikovsky in the first movement. And the last movement, of course, is a kind of a rustic country dance.
Yeah.
With a very virtuoso display from both orchestra and the piano.
Let's see how far we get in the first movement. It is quite long, so we may back off after a few minutes of it, but... Here we have from the library an Emil Galel's recording with the New Philharmonia Orchestra and Lauren Mazel, I believe. Let's hear music from the first movement of the Concerto Number 2, which listeners, you may not have heard at all or in years, and it's in full being performed tomorrow night by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra and my guest, pianist Yefim Bronfman. That was a generous portion of the first movement of the Piano Concerto No. 2 by Tchaikovsky, but still not complete. You'll have to be in your seat tomorrow at Miller Auditorium to hear my guest, Yefim Bronfman, perform the full concerto with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, led by Raymond Harvey, who just announced he is retiring. This will be his 18th and final season with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, although we will see him in future seasons as... Conductor Emeritus coming back for concerts. So that is big news for our music scene here in West Michigan. In that recording, we heard Emil Galel's. This this requires all the piano and power and passion you can muster, I think.
Yeah, it's a difficult piece for pianists. It has a lot of technical and musical challenges and... I would say maybe it's more difficult than the first, although the first is also very, very tough. But this has some, I think he learned a lot from Liszt and Schumann and Balakir, if you know, that to produce this very difficult and challenging passage work in the piano part. So.
At this point in your career, if you compared yourself to an athlete who trains, what's harder and what's easier?
Oh my God, everything is hard. You know, when especially you get older, you find everything is more difficult. You when you were in a teenager or in your early 20s, I think you don't find anything challenging. You just, at least in your mind, you know. But as you become more responsible as a person, you know, and you realize that everything is difficult, and to express a great composer's intentions, you mature enough to realize that this is actually more challenging than you originally thought of. So that's why I think it's a combination of things that makes it more difficult.
Does adrenaline actually make the experience in concert, not necessarily the preparation, but being on stage with an audience, does that allow you to forget tiredness, lack of sleep, you know, that kind of thing?
Sometimes, yes. Every concert is a different experience. I think that there's never the same prescription for that to work in the same way. I think that every concert is a different experience, and we cannot rely on past experiences of a concert to rely on that in today's performance. You know, I think it works differently. I think that you don't even think about it. You just have to be prepared to face all kind of unexpected issues that may come up during the performance.
I think in this month you're playing this concerto. You mentioned playing it just last week, but I think you're playing Bartok and Beethoven.
I'm playing next week. I'm playing. Also, I have a recital in Lansing this weekend.
Yes, yes.
And then next week I'm playing Beethoven's third piano concerto in St. Louis. And the week after that I'm playing Beethoven number 4 in Los Angeles. And then week after that I'm playing in Boston a concerto written for me by a wonderful young German composer, Jörg Wittmann. Will be a Boston premiere of that piece that I'm playing.
That's so much music.
There's a lot of music, yes.
Did you prepare all of it this summer, or are you going, you know, a few weeks in advance? And
well, Tchaikovsky I prepared this summer. You know, the others I've played other places in the springtime, and I've performed the Jörg Wittmann piano concerto that I'm playing in Boston. In San Francisco, there was American premiere back in June, so it's sort of in my fingers right now.
I mentioned during the music, I told a story about former program director here who was a great influence on me and showed me your recordings of the Shostakovich specifically, and they were his favorite. And I would like to ask you about some people you've collaborated with, because our record library has recordings of you and Isaac Stern, for example. Do you have any stories of great musicians like Mr. Stern that influenced you?
Well, you know, Isaac Stern was not a great musician, great human being, and for a young pianist to be able to collaborate with such a great artist, it was a learning experience. It was, you know, I think that I learned probably more in one rehearsal with him than in 4 years of schooling. You know, it was just remarkable. I'm very fortunate that I was able to do that. You know, he's a great musician, a great experience he had that he was able to share with me and some of that other young performers that is irreplaceable. You know, in a musician's life.
I'm a great admirer of Esa-Pekka Salonen, the conductor and composer.
Yes.
And he's written you a concerto.
He's written me a piano concerto, which I've performed many times and recorded it with him. And we're also going to do it again next season in Los Angeles. So I'm bringing it back after not playing it for maybe 5-6 years. Now it's coming back.
Yes, yes. He because he's a conductor and a composer, tell me something about his way of working or communicating music.
Well, he's a great musician. Again, he's a great great conductor and great composer. And you know, for me as a performer, the idea of working with the composer is very important, because most of the time we spend time to play music of dead composers, you know, unfortunately, you know, but that the idea of having a conversation with that composer always exists, because there's so many questions I asked. How would Tchaikovsky want it? How would Beethoven want that? You know, but when you work with a composer who is contemporary of yours, then you want to ask those same questions and you get an answer, you know. And I think that you can use those answers for the composers who are no longer with us, you know, at least in our imagination. I think it's very important. That's why I find that our job is kind of impossible, because, you know, we have to interpret music of great geniuses of the past without really having any communication with them. That's a tough job, I think, you know.
It's their job to put as much of themselves on that page so that there's no mistaking what they intend.
Sure, but we have to, they created the work, but we have to recreate it. Hmm. It's not like a painting in a museum. It's a world of sound, and it's quite different to be able to express that, I think.
Sure. Things 200 years ago that were understood without saying aren't necessarily understood today.
We live in a different world, and also the instrument itself was different. So he heard that piece played on a completely different instrument and not maybe necessarily such a big concert hall as we have, for example, here in Kalamazoo, you know. There are a lot of factors that, and the world has changed, you know.
Will you be coming back to the Gilmore Festival or the Kalamazoo?
I have no immediate plans, but I certainly hope that I will be back in Kalamazoo at some time in the future. Yes.
Do you make your home in the United States?
I live in New York, yes.
In New York. Okay. Well, that's not too far away.
Not too far, yes.
But you must travel most of the year or quite a bit?
I travel a lot. I try to take summers. Take it easy in summertime, you know, and I try to spend time practicing and learning and staying home. But the rest of the year, I think that almost every week I am on the road somewhere.
I heard that for at least one engagement, you were paid not in cash but in wine. Was it good wine? I hope.
Well, wonderful wine, and it's fantastic winemakers who have. Actually, chamber music series in Napa Valley, and a lot of my friends and colleagues perform there, and they become great friends and they're great winemakers.
Of course, wonderful
people, John and Maggie Kunzgard, their name, and I love their wine. It's great.
That sounds like a good trade.
Try not to drink too much. Definitely not before the concert.
No. You'll deserve a few glasses after tomorrow night's performance.
Hopefully,
which
yes.
It begins at 8 o'clock tomorrow in Miller Auditorium. Raymond Harvey conducting the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Full details online at kalamazoosymphony.com. Well, I would like to end, since we were talking about new music, living composers. I found a piece this morning that just blew me away. It's a work that you premiered with the New York Philharmonic a few years ago, music of Magnus Lindberg. And the New York Times wrote, whatever fee Mr. Bronfman earned for this engagement, it was not enough.
That's very funny.
You had a short time to prepare this brand new piece, and it asks a lot.
It's a lot of notes to play there, yes.
Would you give me a little background on Mr. Lindberg and what kind of piece this is?
Well, Lindberg is actually a Finnish composer who is a very great composer and is a great friend whom I knew probably for the last 20 years. He's a contemporary of mine. And he was a composer in residence of New York Philharmonic. So I think that New York Philharmonic has commissioned that concerto for me in mind. And New York Philharmonic, and we premiered it about 3-4 years ago. And it has a great, I've played it 17 times around the world, which is a lot of performances.
And rare for a new work. Today they get premiered, maybe if you played a few more times.
He's a very popular composer, and there were three orchestras that that have actually co-commissioned it. There was, I think, that New York Philharmonic was one of them, and there were two other orchestras, the Concertgebouw of Amsterdam and the orchestra in Sweden, Göteborg Symphony, as also was one of the commissions. So I played it there, and I also performed it in London, and then we took it on tour with New York Philharmonic to Japan and to Taiwan and to West Coast. So, you know, it had... I played it 17 times. I'm giving it a rest now, simply not because I love the piece, but there are so many other things I'm trying to do in the meantime, you know, like the presentation of the new concerto by Jörg Wittmann in the coming season.
Yes.
I'm playing at least 3-4 engagements with that. Mm-hmm. So, and then Salonen, also a wonderful piece, Esa-Pekka Salonen's concerto, but it was put on hold several years ago. It's coming back next year, so trying to pace my repertoire in a way that I can still play all of that in the future.
Well, we're going to finish here with the first movement of the Lindbergh Concerto, and it has been a pleasure and an honor to have you here today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.